Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, product owners all over this great big world, including the people listening in Hamburg, Germany. Welcome back to Deliver It. This is your Agile and Product Owners Podcast. My name is Corey Bryant, and I'm back for a new year. New episodes starting to roll out just for you. I do apologize for the tail end of 2022. Missing some things then. Lots of things happened and caused some decisions to be made. So here we are. And this year, I'm going to change some things up. I want to tell you a few things that I'm altering so you know what's happening. First is I'm going to target making the episodes to be about 15 minutes for my solo efforts and still have an occasional interview. It'll become more of a diary of sorts for ideas I'm having and people I really want to talk to about an idea. So I'm going to drop the news or article section, cut it down to one question, and try to be a little more concise on the main topic. See how that goes, see how I like it, see how you like it, and if it makes the show better or worse. It's an experiment, so let's try it and see how it goes. One of the ideas that I noticed was working well for me over the past years as a product owner and was reinforced a lot over the last few months when starting to work with a startup is how powerful a thinking tool looking at the order of operations for something is. I've talked about this a good amount with looking at flow and value stream mapping of processes and practices, deployment pipelines, identifying problems and such. The thing I want to focus on today is looking at your customer's order of operations. What do they do for their job? How does your product fit into that? And what things do they do? More importantly, in what order? My latest experience, this came in handy as I started to work with a startup and was looking at evaluating their product, current offerings, and trying to learn their market. I did what I normally start with, a user story map, to look at the activities from beginning to end for what the customer, you know, the person using the product, was trying to accomplish. After starting with the product that existed today, I expanded the beginning and end steps for what things were they doing right before using this product and what things did they do right after using this product for the rest of the job. In doing so, I learned a lot of background information, theory, and how this product fit into that particular job. After learning that and modifying the start and beginning on the story map with that new information, I then went back to the parts of the story map that were missing some of the customer's processes that they had to do outside the app for various reasons. Maybe it was something the product couldn't do yet, or it was something that had to be done in another system anyway. By updating the map, activities, and tasks, I was able to create a better picture of what the customer needed to do to get their job done and how our product played a part in it. After reviewing comments and making a few changes and additions, it seemed like I mapped it out well enough. The response to that was interesting. It seemed that by putting that together, it took me 10-ish hours of work to understand what they did in 9 months. Was it magic? No. It was understanding what the customers wanted to do and what order they had to do it. There were some pieces that we interrupted the customer flow and forced what we, the company, wanted them to do. That disrupted them or caused unnecessary and unwanted friction. By removing those things, we could make it easier for them by understanding what order the customer wanted to do things, which was different than the order of how the customer had to do things, which was different from the order the company or our product wanted them to do things. We can make their lives better. Even for this part of it, even if some of the items were able to move to either making it optional, making it a default choice that seemed reasonable, or removing a step or action altogether, it wasn't needed, especially as I was trying to get the concept of a MVP, and I do mean MVP, out the door. A lot of it was unnecessary complication that we could deal with later, or ideally, not at all. For the customer, they were either doing that now without us, or it wasn't the reason they were looking to use the product. To the customer, it didn't add value. By doing all this work and thinking, I was able to significantly reduce what we needed to build to solve the customer's needs and issues. We started to focus on the real value our product provided and see that start happening sooner rather than later. I then tackled the problem this way. I found the thing that would happen over and over, ideally hundreds of times a day, and what lay at the core of that reason why people would pick us. We did that part, built it in 2 weeks. Then we went to the riskiest part of the product, what would likely cripple us if we didn't do it. That was second, and let me tell you, that one was a real pain in the ass. It took 3 real iterations to find something that was workable. It's not what we wanted, and we learned we're going to have to likely use something else to get the outcomes we're looking for. It also took us more time than we would have liked because of all the fits, problems, and restarts. third-party integrations can be easy or a nightmare. The third thing that we did was set up our North Star, the one thing we wanted to focus on that our customers really wanted to do, and at the end of this process. So we built a version of that, one that worked and customers could use to achieve their goals. Now that we have a really good base to move forward from, we can tweak some of the parts and build on more as we go and learn. That's possible because we looked at, understood, and challenged the customer's order of operations, how they do their job, and how our product plays a part in that, how our product could play a bigger and more important part of that, how our product could eventually become their go-to solution. Because we fit our customers' mental models so well, it's easy for them to adopt and use us. We also challenged how the team worked, their order of operations for building the product and working together. More on that in future episodes. This whole experience reminds me of the TSSC video I shared a while ago of people coming in to help the Hurricane Sandy food bank runs. They looked at what was trying to be done, saw what was necessary and what wasn't, changed their processes and mindset, and were able to make a significant impact for the people and the customers of that operation. That lean approach to problem solving, waste, and in what order things need to get done works on most everything I've tried it on. So applying a bit of learning, a bit of logic, and a touch of product thinking allowed us to accomplish something that seemed like magic to others. That's the power of understanding the order of operations. Thank you for sharing the show to your friends and for sending in your questions and feedback. You can do that on Twitter at DeliverCast or email us at DeliverCast@gmail.com. You can help support the show through the links in the description or set up some consulting time with me to work through your issues at SeekTaiju.com. Question this episode comes from Pavla. It says, I've read a few posts and a lot of comments where developers will say that Agile isn't working for them, or maybe never even works, because the leadership team, i.e. the C-suite, key stakeholders, non-tech department leaders, don't understand it or they use the information incorrectly. What is it that you believe leadership don't understand? Is it a wide range of things, or does it usually happen to be an identical pitfall across organizations? Okay. What most people, other people don't get. A few core things, in my experience. First is that everything is going to change. And everything is going to change in a way that they're probably not comfortable with. Some people are comfortable with being uncomfortable. We talked about that in one episode. Really, it's about their job, how they do their job is going to change. One of the main things is you cannot predict. You cannot tell that this team will be done with this feature on this day because you don't know what that feature will look like. You don't know if it's going to change. The design's going to change. The interaction's going to change. The customer's going to figure stuff out. So that whole notion that we can plan ahead and build something, I think is the core part of that. And that, honestly, the team has to do it together. So again, lots of things to change that comfort and prediction level, even if it's wrong, they're comfortable. They like it. It's what they're used to. That's going to be a hard thing for them to give up. So that's where I see people trying to do the same things and just call it Agile. And it's not. It is a completely different approach. You do not slice up your 6-month project into 2-week sprints, put it in Jira and call it Agile. It doesn't work that way. That's not what we're trying to do. So we're trying to figure out what is the most amount of value we can deliver in a period of time, have working software that does that, and then expect to iterate on it, expect it to change. I think that's the other thing is that they're done, that you can be done with something. So you're never really done with something. You just decide to abandon it and go to something else, or that it's good enough and we're going to work on this other problem now because that's good enough. Does that make sense? I hope it does. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. That was, well, that took a lot less time than I thought. I will have to rethink how I structure these things, but I wanted to get this idea out since I've been trying to do it for quite some time. More ideas later, but thank you all so much for listening. All the opinions expressed here, mine, and more of them, it is Corey Bryant on Twitter. That is episode 151 delivered. Go out and on the outcome. We'll be right back.